Make sure I am plugged in all the way. Is that better?
Talk.
Same.
It just sounds like you're really low. Where's your microphone?
It's right by my mouth.
And where's that?
In the bottom of my face by the jaw. Hope I said that loud enough to catch.
I hope so. I don't know.
Let's see. Microphone volume. I mean, it's what
oh,
about
that's
now?
Better. What did you just do?
I just turned the microphone volume up a little bit. Okay. It seems high.
Where is it? Like more than halfway?
Oh, it's definitely more than halfway.
Did you
if I
have...
put it? If I put it on automatic, then it works. But then sometimes it goes really low, and then it builds back up. But if I keep it on this level, it's fine. The problem is, I think there was one episode where I had it on like all the way, and I was just much louder than everybody else.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? My volume's down. Hold on. Talk now.
Yeah, is it loud?
Oh yeah, that's loud.
You have problems hearing the volume of my voice.
It was my mute button.
All right, is that better?
That's low again.
What about now?
One more.
And a little bit higher now.
There you go. Sound checks with the Dome Patrol Podcast.
.com.
What's up, Houdat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and I'm not drunk. Just one game left in the worst football season for Louisiana fans since who knows when. This past weekend, we thought we'd finally see the end of the 12th man, but the football gods are just not done torturing us. Then, poor Damon had to sit through his beloved Colts to get trounced by the great and powerful New England Patriots. Bill Belichick. We'll discuss both games, plus look ahead to the Super Bowl matchup and more on this week's installment of the Gillette Stadium Patrol Podcast. So put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all time, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
What the hell's a Patriot?
I was trying to combine Patriots and cheat.
It didn't work.
Nope. Not easier said than done.
Right. Yeah, just...
It's a new bird. Caw-caw!
Oh, jeez. Okay, I'm done with birds. Done with...
Swoops down and bites your horse's teeth in.
And then my horse, when he got scared, he booted me across the barn because he was angry with the birds.
Just, I hate football. I'm just a one. I got a glass of wine and that's it. It just doesn't... The stupid football season doesn't deserve it.
All right.
I mean, this is... I was so mad Sunday.
Nothing went your way.
And it wasn't even a Saints game, but yet I was so mad about a football game.
All right. Damon, welcome to the show. What's your number?
Thank you. No number tonight.
Uh-huh.
But I'll agree with Jason, and we'll get into it more as the show goes along, about the terrible football weekend.
Andrew Luck was so Steve's crushed.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, he sucked. But more about the reality of what football really is and what the bullshit the media is trying to feed us about the great Northwest.
All right. Well, with that, then let's jump right into pounding the playoffs. And our first game, obviously, Green Bay at Seattle. One that Green Bay absolutely should have won, but they just couldn't close the deal.
Pretty bad coaching performance.
Like Damon in high school. Go on.
Jesus. Sure you're a zero?
I know, right?
Just all kinds of ways that the Packers blew the game. It was an incredible choke job to me.
How many turnovers did they end up with? Five?
Seattle had four interceptions and a fumble on the kickoff return. Five turnovers in Seattle had them. And still couldn't.
Had them on the ropes.
So many things. It wasn't just the tight end on the, you know, on the onside kick. Yeah, that was part of it, but there were so many other things that happened. Just ridiculous how somehow Seattle came back and won the game.
Well, Jason, you're right. I mean, look, people, let's be real. If the DB who intercepted Russell Wilson's fourth interception, okay?
Yeah.
Fourth. Okay, if he doesn't slide for no fucking reason whatsoever and keeps running, the Seahawks lose that game. If someone doesn't blow a coverage on Marshawn Lynch, the Seahawks lose that game. If the ball doesn't bounce off the guy's face mask on the onside kick, the Seahawks lose that game. If the worst fucking chuck and duck on a two-pointer...
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
Okay, ever isn't completed and Clinton ha-ha dicks...
Ha ha! Clinton Dix. Stupid motherfucker.
You know, it doesn't just stand there like he's frozen.
Like, what is Seahawks,
does the Seahawks lose? Okay,
he looked like a Saints cornerback on that play.
I mean, this was just the worst set of events I've ever seen in any NFL game. It's just one of those things, most of which were largely out of the fucking control of Seattle's hands, doesn't fall right, they lose.
And that's on top of the two field goals they settled for in the first half when, dude, they were on, like, the 6-inch line.
Right. No, well, haha.
They're catching a lot of flack for that, too.
Well,
I mean, look, it's on the road. It's in Seattle. You got them by the balls. I mean, yeah, you know, points is nice, but, I mean, at halftime it was 16-0. It felt like it should have been 24-0 at half.
Well, Jason, you lead me right there to another little rant. The main reason the Packers lost was because they played scared. With under 5 minutes to play, okay, well, so we talk about playing scared. The DB who intercepts the ball, instead of running, he thinks he might fumble the ball and give it back to him, so he slides down. That's playing scared, okay?
So much open field, too. He had easily 15, 20 yards, possibly even if he gets around a few blockers.
The only people in front of him, there was no skill position people in front of him. It was big, fat offensive linemen and Russell Wilson, okay? But with under 5 minutes to play, the Packers have the ball, and they run it three straight times. I mean, you have one of the the elite quarterbacks in the game today, and you're scared to pass the freaking ball? You know, you can't play scared in this league and win. You look at the Patriots. They never play scared. They go for it on fourth down to kill games. The Packers, and I hate saying this, but sometimes it's true. The Packers lost that game. Seattle did not win it. And I hate that guy, and I hate saying it. But that's the fucking truth.
Well, but the narrative, of course, is how amazing Russell Wilson is. Forget that he threw four interceptions.
Well, but that's not quite the narrative, but it's...
Oh, yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
Yes,
he
it
overcame
is.
Adversity.
It's how resilient. The word is resilient.
There you go. Resilient.
Is what I keep hearing.
Yes.
Oh, yes, it is, Jason. Oh, look, I can't... I tried this morning. I can't listen to any... I can't watch any Super Bowl coverage, okay?
You know, never... I mean... Forget the fact that Russell Wilson blew chunks for 58... No, no. 59, no, 60 minutes. Or, give him 58 minutes. it's those last few minutes, and all of a sudden now he's the greatest. He back to being the greatest quarterback ever.
Well, like I said, let me say, Russell Wilson seems like a nice kid, okay? And I wish him the best. I really do. But,
I like how
this is a big but. He is not an elite QB. He is not even, I mean, he is a very good QB. But like you just said, if you look at his numbers, halfway through the fourth quarter, he had 7 completions with 3 interceptions.
In the NFC Championship game.
He had 7 completions, 3 interceptions.
At home.
At home. The kicker. The kicker had a touchdown.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's another stupid play. A fucking fake field goal.
Well, Seattle tried to rely on Russell Wilson in the passing game early in the NFC Championship game. And where did it get him? A 16-0 game at halftime. And so you're right. They're pushing Russell Wilson. He's such a competitor, and he's resilient, and they never give up. Bullshit. The Seattle team is 55% defense, 35% Marshawn Lynch, and 10% Russell Wilson. He is just a little better than a caretaker. All right? He's not.
Trent Dilfer was more of a quarterback than he.
You know. No.
Yeah, I don't know. Cross the line there.
Did I cross? Yeah, exactly.
But, and again, why I can't stand the way it happened and why I can't watch the Super Bowl coverage is because they're going to blow Wilson like he is a true elite QB, which he is not. You cannot take Russell Wilson and put him on another team and they become contenders like you could with the Denver Peyton Manning. Okay.
The defense makes it so they only have to score about 20-25 points a game.
Right. And again, God bless Russell Wilson. He's fun, but it's the same thing that it's
fun.
He's kind of fun to watch, kind of like a Michael Vick. You know, when the quarterback
you don't know what he's gonna do.
Right. When he improvises. Okay. But again, much like Michael Vick, which we've been dealing with for 15 years now, they never talk about his numbers. They never talk about his QB quarterback rating or never his percentage. And it's just.
But I think what might help sell the Russell Wilson brand, the Russell brand, if you will, see what I did there, is he does have a strong work ethic. You do have to give him that. He has a strong work ethic. I do think he might have some integrity as a person. So yeah, there is that likability.
Well, except when he cries in the fucking interview after the game. Well,
but the thing, it worked for him. That actually endeared him even more. Where a lot of people, if they cry, then it's like, you fucking pussy. Whereas with him, it's like, look how much he cares. He's so resilient.
I was more on the fucking pussy bandwagon. I don't remember Joe Montana crying.
Oh.
Okay.
I do remember Dick Vermeil crying.
Well, Dick Vermeil's an emotional man, and he's a coach. It's a different mentality. And look. Another reason I think, and I don't think it's just Saints fans. I think this goes through a lot of fans throughout the country, I think, are pulling for New England. Because Seattle, the whole team, I'm sure y'all saw I'm sure you saw, remember last year, everybody remembers last year, Richard Sherman's comments after the NFC Championship game.
And that's why they're not
Hold on, and then now. Jason, Jeff, did you see this Baldwin, the wide receiver? Did you see him go off on the medium?
I heard. I didn't see, but yes, I heard.
You know, and he's jumping up and saying, you didn't believe in us, and we're the best, and all this. And I'm telling you, jumping around.
It was funny to hear him call out. Was it
Deion Sanders? Yeah, Deion Sanders.
It was them, kind of like what you were saying last week. You know, pay the man, like that kind of E.
Well, Deion Sanders kept saying that Seattle's receiving corps is all right. That
that's it.
Right.
He's not wrong.
No, exactly. He's not wrong. But again, what I just discussed, he's not wrong. But like I said, jumping around screaming about how good you are is just proof that you aren't as good as you think you are. All right. Can you remember Joe Montana jumping up and down saying how good he was? Peyton Manning.
Well, and that's something I texted you guys about. Is when I was texting you guys and I said about the Patriots being a professional football team. And when you look at when they score their touchdowns, I mean, 44 points, and they're done, it's business. Like, act like you've been there.
Exactly. Act like you've been there before. Act like you're professional.
Score. They spike the ball is maybe the pinnacle of their celebration.
Right.
And they walk off the field and back to, okay, let's keep going. Right. Game's not over.
And that professionalism is what is going to beat the Seahawks in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote some stuff down with you coming in with that professionalism. Dude, just totally played my I love speaking wrote perfectly. I
mean, it's as though it was scripted.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, I scripted my part, but you came in there perfectly. I mean, you really, I mean, I had, you know, I mean, I had the professionalism was going to beat them and see how, I mean, you really came in. You worked and you hadn't even seen my script. You didn't work.
I'm like a good quarterback here.
Exactly.
Toss it up there.
You're just all a right. caretaker.
That's it. That's what a good host does. Okay.
Another thing about Seattle, too, is just their fans are unlikable.
How unlikable are they?
They're so unlikable.
Set him up now. Go ahead.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, right. Now the sorry, on. I didn't have a script in front of me.
Oh, I had a script. Right. I read mine from a script.
But it was funny to see the pictures of the people who had left early. Speaking of
unprofessional, Jason.
Well, hey, never said I was professional.
Doesn't prepare for the show.
Never claimed to be professional, all right?
And it really showed in his performance.
Hey, fuck you, buddy!
I think it gives me an edge.
There you go. He's unpredictable.
That's right. Just don't know what's going to happen.
He's the Russell Wilson of the Dome Patrol podcast.
Yeah, man. Hey, one episode, I might throw four picks. But you know what? I'm going to drive us down at the end of the show. Bye Bye Donkeys is going to win the game.
Yeah. But yeah, their fans leaving was
to see the pictures of them looking, trying to get back in, and no re-entry. Ooh. Nope, sorry.
Again, and where I have a problem with the media, and all my problems here with the media, again, it's not Russell Wilson's fault that the media is too stupid to have any sort of other segment on, but talking about he is elite. But you're right, Jason. You know, and then the 12th man, it's unbeatable. And right, they leave just like any other. All fans are the same either way. We do not want to sit there and watch our team get ass raped. Okay, that is not fun.
Not pleasant. We witnessed one or two of those this season.
Yeah,
not pleasant at all. Now, I mean, you know, it wasn't the NFC title game, but still not fun. Right.
Look, Seattle lost two games in the regular season at home, and they should have lost the NFC Championship game. So please do not tell me Seattle, they won one season, they went undefeated at home, just like the Saints did. So go fuck yourself.
Right. I always likes to end with an old ass, so go fuck yourself.
Right. The fuck out of here.
Right.
All right. Is that a good segue as any? To talk about the Indianapolis at New England game, as we said, what was it, 44-7?
45-7, I believe.
45? Oh.
Yeah.
I stopped counting.
Yeah, wasn't the most fun game to watch.
It was if you were cheering for the Patriots.
Yeah, no doubt. These were definitely my two favorite teams, you know, left in the playoff. So, I mean, I would really, you know, look, a winner either way, like I said. It would have been fun to see the Colts and a young Andrew Luck get into the Super Bowl, but he needs a lot. He needs a lot more seasoning, and they need to put
and that more. Damon's comment is brought to you by Tony Sashree's. Put it on your food.
And also, they need to get some, you know, a couple more parts around him. But see, but the Colts are still in a great place. I mean, my goodness, they just got to the AFC Championship game. You know,
they still have Andrew Luck, so.
I mean, they are in a good spot for years to come. You know.
Yeah.
But like you said, look, and I like seeing it. Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots going to their sixth Super Bowl. Incredible.
Is it their sixth?
Yeah, it is. Actually, yes, they're 3-2.
And it's his opportunity to win his sixth ring.
Who?
No?
Bill Belichick's.
Okay, I mean, who's with the Giants?
He's got three with the Patriots, one with the Giants, or two with the Giants.
Two with the Giants.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, but that, I mean, he's going for his fourth as a head coach, Brady going for his fourth.
Well, Five rings? To have six rings, I mean, you got another hand.
Somebody, oh, yeah. No, look, I mean, look, trust me, Bill Belichick is proud of all of his rings, especially when he was the...
when he names his boat Five Rings.
Oh, did he? I didn't know that.
Yeah. There was that, it was one of the talking points the other day. It was like, if he wins, he's going to have to rename his boat.
Right, yeah. No, he's proud of all five of his rings. I mean, when you're a coordinator. But, yeah, look, the Patriots are just what they've been for the last 14 years, fellas. I mean...
Deflated balls or no?
Ah, that's such.
That's for later.
I know it's stupid, but it's funny because it's the Patriots and they cheat.
Well, I had that saved for later, but we can talk about that now because it is relevant to the game.
I want to dip my balls in it!
Overshadowing everything else as far as.
It almost just like, it doesn't even matter because, I mean, it's not like they're going to say, oh no, Colts win the game instead. I mean, they're still going to, you know,
I don't know if deflated balls are going to make up 45 points.
Right. A deflated ball did not have any bearing on that game.
My question is this, because I've heard so many different perspectives on this, but I did hear last night that each team is responsible for their own balls. So by that logic...
And that's the way it should be. I'm responsible for my balls. Jeff, you're responsible for your balls. Jason, you're responsible for your balls.
Right.
And Matt, but you know, Matt, he takes care of a lot of balls. That's the kind of guy he is. Helpful.
Helpful.
Matt's always juggling some balls.
He's a clown, in case you didn't know. By that logic, the Colts would have brought, like, they're supposed to bring, like, a certain amount of balls, and their balls are the ones that their offense plays with, and they know this because their ball has the logo, like, the Colts logo on it, and the Patriots balls have their logo on it, and whoever was talking on this, it's like an NBC syndicated radio show, was saying that he used to play, he was a defensive player, he's like, that's why when you intercept the ball on defense, some players like to keep the ball, because you try to collect, you know, a ball from every team, so to speak. And you got, just like, I got your balls. So if they did deflate balls, I mean, what are they saying? They went over and deflated the Colts balls after they brought them? Or wouldn't the Colts know? I mean, I'm having a hard time accepting that this happened.
I think you said the word balls way too many times.
Yeah. At least I didn't say I'm having a hard time swallowing this story.
It'd be a lot cooler if you did.
I don't think it's anything. It's just fun because, you know, Patriots.
I don't think it happened.
Cheating, but I mean, were they? Who's is? Are the Colts claiming that the balls were?
Well, here's
someone played with their balls.
Inflated, right?
Look, the story that how I read it today was that that interception that they threw. Mm-hmm. The linebacker for the Colts, when he went to the sideline, told either his, you know, the defensive coordinator or one of the assistants that the ball felt underinflated.
Oh, so the Patriots deflated their own balls.
Right. That's, I mean, I guess, you know, so right. So the Colts intercepted it, said, oh, the ball felt deflated. Then that, you know, went to an assistant who told a coordinator, who told the coach, who told the GM sitting in the booth, who told an official, all right? So they grabbed one of the balls. Now, what I'm curious about...
So they grabbed whose balls?
One of the Patriots' balls. but what I'm curious about is an official touches the ball every play.
So does the quarterback.
And the center. The quarterback touches the center balls every
right.
play.
Okay.
What is happening right now?
Oh, my. I mean, yeah, Jeff is just like an infant child.
This is just too fun.
But seriously, the referees place the football every play. So you telling me the linebacker had to notice this, that a referee wouldn't know that a football is deflated?
And how are you going to go back and check? I mean, either they know it happened or they didn't. How are you going to go back and check?
I mean, there's nothing they can do about it now.
There is nothing you can do. So,
well, again, the officials did take one of the footballs and put it aside. Remember how?
Okay, remember so second, the, why remember, is it now 2 days later we still haven't heard how much it weighs?
Right, I don't know. But then there was something. Remember that the second half took a little bit longer to get going.
I don't know. I was drunk by then.
Yeah. But I agree with both of y'all. I think this is a lot to do about nothing, but it's a great story because it's Bill Belichick, the New England Patriots. Right. Bill Belichick. And the media loves to play that because they love to take down winners.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I've told y'all before, I understand that. I understand jealous people trying to take down winners. I understand that.
Yeah. All right, then that's going to move us on into headlines.
Hello, I'm Kent Brockman, and this is Eye on Springfield.
So the first headline, let's go with Ryan Pace. Takes one of our scouts, Josh Lucas, who had been here for 10 years, and he's going to get a nice promotion to the director of player personnel. What impact do you think that's going to have on the Saints, assuming you haven't heard about Jeff Ireland?
Well, that's the problem. I've heard about it at this
point. Ryan Pace is a dick.
You're 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 a dick.
He started doing his shit. He stole our scout. He signed his, he signed a coach.
He signed a coach.
That's kind of a big deal. John Fox, but mm-hmm. However you think of John Fox.
Well, I mean,
Fox.
He kind of needed to do that. It's not like we wanted John Fox.
I don't know. It's kind of fishy. I mean, really, you think John Fox was on his radar? Because we had heard this way before he went there. I think the owner had already made up their mind with John Fox.
Yeah, but Fox wasn't available until last Monday.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, no, you're wrong.
I mean, I don't know.
Nobody saw that one coming.
All the behind the scenes stuff. I mean, I don't know. Maybe some people knew, but
maybe Jason Lockenfora saw it coming.
Doubtful.
Okay, so then yeah, let's talk about Jeff Ireland. So the Saints did announce today
several.
There
moves.
Was like a whole kind of like.
Well, hold on. Did they announce Jeff Ireland? I thought Jeff Ireland.
I don't know if it
that's
did not,
the whole
no.
thing is midday today. The whole thing was ESPN is jumping the gun. It's unsubstantiated. Even Jeff Ireland himself was like denying it. But then I read online that they made the announcement at like 7 something tonight, or at least I don't know that Mickey Loomis came out and said it, but it's
and you can believe everything you read on the internet.
Well, I know, but I mean they put it on as fact, like not reports saying that it's going to happen. Although this NBCSports.com says report Jeff Ireland joining Saints personnel.
Well, no, it was maybe Adam Schefter or some reporter earlier in the day, and then somebody asked Mickey, and of course he denied everything. But then reports are saying that it's very likely, but maybe it's not official yet.
Ireland denied everything. Mickey just did his Sean Payton-esque.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about that. We can't talk about that.
Is that your impression?
That's my impression of Sean Payton saying, we can't talk about that. You know,
that sounds more like Mickey Loomis.
Okay, you're right. Mickey is right. He is a quieter.
Yeah. Sean would say, we're not talking about that.
Who are they? Fucking. That
right.
Sounds,
yeah, what the fuck? That's not how he talks.
That sounds more like Ted Kennedy. Hey, Rob,
just a minute. We're twice as smart as the people of Jeff Ireland.
Just
tell us who you are scouting and we'll recruit him.
So it was just, it was crazy all the stuff that happened today. Because
Jason cares nothing about our impression.
Of course not. Fuck that. You're not from Ireland. They hired Dennis Allen.
They sure did.
Well, that we do know is true.
But it's,
by the time this comes out, we know that Jeff Ireland's going to be true.
But I mean, so they hired him as like a senior defensive assistant coach.
Mm-hmm.
Like no real position.
They just wanted him on the team.
So
I think Wes McGriff better start packing.
They wanted him on staff because if our defense sucks again this year, then they'll let Ryan go and Allen's right there to succeed him as defensive coordinator.
Just a little pressure on him as you would a player.
Well, I would like to see Dennis Allen also coach a position. That would be nice. And you know what? The same thing they did with Allen, and again, we kind of talked about it last week, a couple weeks ago, is what they should do with Vic. Make Vic the assistant head coach, overseer of whatever the fuck, and bring in a...
Is that an official title? Overseer of whatever the fuck.
Overseer whatever the fuck he wants to do. Because, look, while I'm not a fan of his linebacking coaching skills, I definitely think that Rick... not Rick.
Are you about to say Rick Venturi?
Yes, I was. I was.
You must have listened to him on Bobby Hebert yesterday.
Stop living in the 90s, Damon.
Joe Vitt. But yeah, but Joe Vitt is a great coach to have on this team. He is an asset, no doubt about it. But like we said before, he has not coached up or developed one freaking linebacker since he's been here.
You know, and I don't know what it is, but you know, we've talked about this in the offseason or in the regular during the season. Defense is more about attitude than it is about anything else. And that's an overstatement, but if you go with it, that's the one thing I have noticed. Our defense this year had no confidence in itself, had no attitude. The only arrogance or cockiness that they had was Junior Gillette, and that was unsubstantiated. So for Joe Vitt to be that he is that kind of guy that I think instills that kind of attitude, but why hasn't he been able to do that? I don't know. I'm going nowhere with it other than...
That's the $64,000 question.
Yeah. Why can't... Why,
you know,
yeah.
Scott Shanley was his best linebacking project.
And if you follow Scott Shanley on Twitter, like I like Scott Shanley. I almost want to bring him on as a some sort of person, you know, coach element. You know, those that can't do, teach. You know?
Right.
But I like what Scott Shanley has to say, and I like his thoughts on things. I think, you know, we'll bring him in. Fujita, too. I think we always had maybe had smart linebackers, just not really talented linebackers.
Right.
No doubt about those two guys you just named. You're right. They are both incredibly intelligent men. If you, like Jeff just said, follow them on Twitter or their post-football career, these two men know the game, very well spoken, very articulate. That's the word, articulate. Where Vilma obviously was the class of the bunch. I mean, he has brains and talent.
Mm-hmm. You know, we say they haven't had good ones, but when you look back, they were good units. They played well as a unit.
Well, look, Vilma played pretty great when he was here, and Vegeta played well too. I mean, it's not like they were scrubs. I mean,
Vilma
Chandler
was good before he got here, though.
Well, yeah, he didn't necessarily develop him.
Right.
But
that's my point. He hasn't developed
it. Right, right.
And what we have now is a unit, I'll tell you that.
Are we talking about balls again?
Come on.
All right, so we got Dennis Allen. We got Jeff Ireland. The other news is Mark Ingram has been named.
Well, no, hold on. There's front office. Yeah, shakeups. So the Senior Bowl is in Mobile this week. Right, so that's where Mickey is. That's where everybody is. So today, the Saints fired their director of college scouting.
So Sean Payton said to the guy, he goes, so they're in Mobile, okay? They're in Mobile, all right? They're in Mobile. And Sean Payton goes up, and he says to the guy, in Mobile in the stadium, okay? All right?
Keep going.
There are college players on that field.
Right, they're playing on the field, okay? So Sean Payton says to the guy, and then, like, everybody's watching, you know, and everybody's watching, and Sean Payton says to the guy, you're fired.
No, he says to the guy, I've completely forgotten why I was talking. So that's the Rick Reapish guy?
Yeah. Sean Payton kind of did the Reapish around. Not quite as good, but yeah.
It's better than Tate Sheets.
It is.
You know.
So they fired him while he was scouting at the Senior Bowl. That was his job. He's already in Mobile. Like, they couldn't fire him before he left for Mobile.
Yeah, but they have to have somebody else out there doing it, because what I read was that his role was quietly diminished during this past season. This dude did something wrong. Or they weren't happy with him all year.
Yes, would you like me to go back and read you our drafts over the last 4 years? Okay.
Well, hey, right. Hey, Sean's doing something about it.
Yeah, look, Rick Reprish, whatever the hell his name is.
He showed up at the stadium, and Sean's like, what the fuck are you doing here?
let's see. He a key member of the Saints player personnel development since 2004.
Hang out with Ryan Pace up in Chicago.
Yeah, but, you know, apparently you do not want to be the most dangerous time of the year for a Saints personnel appears to be during the Senior Bowl. Because if I'm not correct, that's also when Spagnuolo was told, get the fuck out of here, too.
Yeah, you Sean know. Payton's got, as is, of course, the tradition.
That's right, that's right.
You know,
and the Saints have just released personnel, as is, of course, the tradition.
But apparently, if you're part of the Saints coaching staff and you're in Mobile, you know, you could, that's when the Turk comes in calling.
He's got the, Sean Payton brings out the king cake. He approaches Rick Reapish, spreads the icing on his face.
Oh,
I wish I could do the voice.
Isn't he beautiful? Sitting there. He grabs the king cake. Passing on the face.
As is, of course, the tradition.
That would be awesome if we could just have that whole thing done. Okay. Wow, man. What a fun episode this is going to be. Mark Ingram makes the Pro Bowl roster. So they're letting anybody in now.
I mean, at this point, there's so many guys that backed out for whatever reason. I mean, Andy Dalton just made the Pro Bowl because Aaron Rodgers backed out. I mean, Andy Dalton's in the
Matt
Pro Bowl.
Ryan.
Right. I mean, that's all you need to know.
Do you remember the TV show Coach whenever they went to the Pro Bowl in Hawaii?
Never watch Coach.
When they were with, I think, the Breakers. Really? That's a great show. Anyway, it's a great episode. And it just goes to show you, like, it is. Like, it's just all, like, you know, living large in Hawaii. And, oh, by the way, we're going to go play a football game. It's almost like we're going to play a pickup game on Sunday. Right near the beach. So, anyway, I think it's just cool that Breeze and Ingram get to just kind of hang out. You know, build a little camaraderie.
Until Ingram signs with somebody else in the offseason.
Well.
I mean, look, you know, good for him. He had a good, decent season this year. I mean,
he did.
I'm not mad that he's going to the Pro Bowl.
It's funny that Reggie Bush never went as a Saint.
Never?
No, because this is the first Saints running back since Deuce McAllister.
Oh.
Has Reggie Bush ever gone?
I don't know.
He had a couple good years with the Dolphins.
Right.
I mean, yeah, but has he ever gone to the...
that's not what Damon asked.
that wasn't the question, but thank you for you.
Has Reggie Bush ever gone to the Pro Bowl? Carson Palmer had a decent year this year.
No, he has not. Reggie has never...
Well, no, what I said... Okay. No, what I said, he had a couple good years with the Dolphins, so like maybe... He might have gone in one of those years.
Right, no.
But
we knew what you meant.
Right.
It was fun to...
Yeah, no. Yeah,
fuck you guys.
He could have gone those years, but he did not.
Okay. Okay, so that's all the headlines I got. Let's move on to another neat off-season topic. Overanalyze this. And this one is submitted by Damon. Mr. Benson gets sick, and all of a sudden, our New Orleans teams suck. Referring to the Pelicans and the Saints. Coincidence or not? Call me, tell me. Damon, do you believe this?
Do
you believe in Benson's deflated balls, Damon?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely happened.
It's your title of a show.
not, you know, not getting into a Pelican plunge here, but the Pelicans, goodness gracious, fellas. I mean, they went on to the East Coast and got embarrassed.
They also won a game. I mean, it's win-loss. I mean, they're...
Yeah, but they lost to the Knicks.
Well, that's they lost to bad teams.
They lost to the Celtics and the Knicks.
They play up or down to their opponents.
Yeah, I mean, they beat Toronto. Like, they're one game under 500, but they just, man, like...
And they beat Memphis.
Right. Beat Memphis, beat Toronto. You know, those are going to be playoff teams, and lose to Boston, lose to Philly, lose to the Knicks. I mean, three of the worst teams in the league.
So, I mean...
So, again, why do you blame Tom Benson?
Because why not? It's fun to blame Tom Benson.
No. I mean, no. I mean, I'm not blaming him that they suck. I would say that, you know, maybe his leadership is missing from some of his subordinates.
But the big word on the street was, even in 2006, that Rita had taken over for the most part. Rita and Mickey were really
about to go to rehab.
And I'm sorry, Jeff, stay this way. In 2006, the word was that Rita took
that
over?
Rita and Mickey...
No.
I don't think so. Well, what word were you hearing? I mean, no.
I was hearing that Rita was running the show there.
Where were
and
you
they were this? Making just giving Benson, like, presenting him with two options. So, like, kind of over exaggeration, but like, here's two options. Both of them are the right option, so to give him the semblance of control, but they were really running the team.
No, first of all, if you remember a couple of years ago, Mr. Benson put Rita on a leash, and suspended her, knocked her down.
What year was that?
Either 11, 12, or 13. He sent her away from the facility for like 30 or 60 days. At the facility, Rita is not very respected or liked at all. There's she's been through like 30 assistants, and
she's too big for her britches.
Yeah, what they say is that she has a sense of entitlement because of who she is.
Kind of a diva.
A little bit. What you're saying, what happened in 06, what you're thinking of and talking about, is she definitely became more of the face of the team following the 2005 disaster where, you know, Tom Benson was talking about moving the team, and he received a lot of bad press in 2005. Mm-hmm. We all remember that.
Deservedly so.
So she became sort of the face of the team that the team would present public, where Mr. Benson has never let his, I'm not going to say thumb, but
his balls.
Yeah, off of that team. Okay. Now, this is from 3 years ago. Colleagues and coworkers are quick to compliment LeBlanc for her intelligence, creativity, energy, and good taste. However, they're also just as quick to note her lack of focus and abrasive management style, citing the estimated 30 assistants she's gone through in the six-year tenure. She's developed a reputation for stalling projects internally at Benson Tower and at the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. Her penchant for drivers and world travelers have irked colleagues and caused some to question her commitment to the job. Some close to Benson say LeBlanc's sense of entitlement has been a source of conflict between her grandfather, a self-made billionaire from the 7th Ward who shuns the spotlight and still routinely clocks 7-day work weeks. So she was absent from the team in the 2012 preseason during Bounty Gate. I can't remember when it was. Yeah, she was absent from
her absence led to a terrible season.
Right.
Well, her or Sean Payton, you decide.
Call me, tell me. Okay, so.
Man, I, again, it's not so much that Benson micromanages everybody, but again, it's more so, you know, if the mouse is the way, the cats will play. I mean, without Benson's
Okay, well, by that logic, and if he's on, I mean, I don't see it getting better as far as
his presence.
I think
it's just a coincidence. I'll say that. I don't think it's just a coincidence. Fun to speculate on something like that, but
right.
Okay.
But I mean, I'm just saying, give Mr. Benson credit where you know where it's due.
I think.
Yeah, they built a fucking statue for the guy.
Yeah, I think we might be overanalyzing this comment.
Oh, I think we should have just stopped at his deflated balls.
And that's the segment. Moving along.
Hold on. I'm going to go back. We're talking about Rick
Venturi?
Rapish.
The Rapish.
Oh, Rick Rapish?
Yeah. Anyway.
Maybe that's why he was fired.
And this is something. This is a list that we'll probably go back and do during the off season. But just going back through 2010. Okay, 2010. I'm going to do a quick rundown of our draft picks, okay? Ooh. And in your head, I want you to, you know, count who's still here. 2010, I'm going to go in order from first round to seventh. Patrick Robinson.
Oh.
Second round, still Charles here. Brown. Third round, Jimmy Graham. Fourth round, Al Woods. Fifth round, Matt Tennant. Sixth round, traded to the Cardinals. Seventh round, Sean Canfield. 2011, first round, Cameron Jordan. First round, Mark Ingram. Third round, Martez Wilson. Third round, Johnny Patrick. Seventh round, Greg Ramos. Seventh round, Nate Busey. 2012, third round, Akeem Hicks. Fourth round, Nick Toon. Fifth round, Corey White. Sixth round, Andrew Tiller. Seventh round, Marcel Jones.
Who?
Exactly. 2013, first round, Kenny Vaccaro. Third round, Taron Armstead. Third round, John Jenkins. Fifth round, Kenny Stills, which that was a steal. Sixth round, Rufus Johnson.
That was a good year.
Well, you got Vaccaro. I think he'll bounce back. You got Armstead, who's good, and you got Kenny Stills. And John, I mean, yeah, I think that was good. 13. I think 13 so far. 14. That was just last year. Brandon Cook, Stanley Jean Baptiste, Corey Ford, who is gone. Vinny Sinceri, who I like, still here. Ronald Powell, I have no idea.
He's still and here.
Tavon Rooks.
Nope.
No. Two guy.
Anyway. But we took an ass whipping in 10, 11, and 12.
And your boy's role started to diminish probably then. And that's when things got better.
Well, but also but also people worried about the Price or whatever the fucking name of the went to Chicago. No offense, Pace. Price. Thinking about prices.
Price is wrong, bitch.
Pace yourself.
No,
so, anyway, go ahead.
All right, can we move on now?
Moving on.
NFL Reach Around. This will be a quick one because Jason did kind of play spoiler. John Fox was hired by the Bears.
Nice, Jason. Thanks.
No problem. You're welcome.
Any comment on that, or does it matter to you? Thoughts on John Fox? I mean,
look, I mean, he was halfway decent in Carolina. Obviously, his tenure in Denver is going to be. He had Peyton Manning. I could have probably coached that team to a couple of wins. Curious to see what he does being
without
stuck
a quarterback.
With, yeah, being
right.
Stuck
I mean,
with
he's.
Cutler.
I mean, without other than trade him, they're kind of stuck with Cutler.
Yeah.
Well, I just want to know, when are the Bears going to stop taking Denver's sloppy seconds?
Who cares if they do or not?
I mean, yeah, but it's just interesting how sometimes certain teams just constantly take from the same team.
Where you just...
Look! Detroit loves our sloppy seconds.
Yeah, it worked for them. So the other reach around news, I mean, I'm kind of reaching for headlines on this part, but so Shitlanta has to wait at least another week before they can hire their coach. So at least
2 weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks. That's right.
Yeah, 2 weeks, but they didn't hire.
So it's nice that they go, you know, without a captain.
No, but let Jason finish what he was about to say.
Yeah, they hired Kyle Shanahan as their offensive coordinator with the.
Thing. Who does that?
So, well, they're already Quinn has the job.
Right.
He's coming in, and he probably approved of them bringing in Shanahan.
I guess. Is that even allowed? Or are they allowed to call him and say?
I mean, I guess technically that's like tampering. I mean, but I don't know.
Nobody's saying anything about that.
They're not Belichick. I don't know. I mean, so whatever. So Shanahan's coming in, and Quinn's there. I mean,
I gotta say, like, as the if you're on Seattle's team, I mean, this is in poor taste with all of them. I think to be so public and open about it, like. You got to motivate your team, but it's like, you guys come and do all this, and then I'm going to leave you the next day.
Kind of like John Chavis in the LSU's bowl game?
Yeah.
I mean, that guy's still going to coach hard in the Super Bowl. I mean, I don't think that matters.
I hope it's the beginning of the end of Seattle, for one thing.
Well, at some point, they're going to have to pay their good but not great quarterback Russell Wilson.
Well, look, there's already a report coming out that, I mean, he's going after this year, you know, they're going to redo his contract and give him $25 million a year.
Wow. I mean, that's where you'll finally start to see, you know, more pieces of Seattle break away.
Right. Well, because they won't be able to afford everybody, but besides that, I mean, it goes back to this big conversation at the beginning of the show. He's not Drew Brees. He's not Peyton Manning. He's not Tom Brady. They deserve that kind of money because they are the team. They are 55% of the team they are on. That simple.
That's why they earn 55%
right.
of the pie.
Russell Wilson is not a great quarterback. And if you think he is, you know nothing about football. And you should probably be spending your time making mock drafts. Because you, sir, are a fucking idiot.
So now, all of the listeners who think he's good, please tweet us. Hashtag I'm a fucking idiot.
I didn't say he wasn't good. I said he is not a great quarterback.
Okay, all of you who think he's a great quarterback, tweet us with the hashtag I'm a fucking idiot.
It would be funny if you get one.
I know. All right, moving to our next segment.
Before we finish off.
Jesus Christ.
Well, what? Don't
Every time I try to move a segment, you got one more thing.
Right.
No. This is, now we're between segments, and I'm going. We're between segments.
We're stuck in the netherworld of the
We're in the netherworld between segments, and I wanted to go back. I wanted to say this earlier in the show, talking about playing scared. Remember I talked about the Green Bay played scared. That's why they lost. Okay. And this leads me to a little critique of Sean Payton. In 2009, the Saints did not play scared. Fourth and goal down in Miami. Mm-hmm. Y'all remember that game? That's where Jeff peed himself?
We were at the game.
That's where Jeff peed himself, right?
That is correct.
I walked through a fountain.
The night before.
Fourth and goal, going to halftime, Saints went for it. Not playing scared. Super Bowl, same year. Down by four. We had ambush. We know how that turned out. Now you look back to the 2013 season and 2014, and you see the Saints trying to run the ball, the kill clock, not attempting to pass.
You called for more running all year long.
Well, but look.
Careful. You know,
that is a good strategy, but it's playing the percentages. And sometimes to be special, you have to buck the system and make it happen. I'm just saying, I think Sean Payton has been playing, if not scared, scared might be the wrong
conservative.
Word. Conservative. Green Bay played scared. They played scared. But Sean Payton doesn't have that.
He doesn't have the confidence in his receivers then, or his line or something. He doesn't have confidence in something to not go for it.
Maybe so. I'm not sure what it is.
I think he's got to be looking at his team and be like, some of these guys I'm stuck with, but I really am not, you know, they're not his.
Right. He doesn't have the confidence that he did back then. And I, you know, I'm not sure why. But would y'all agree to would y'all agree with my little assessment there?
So would you say his balls are a little deflated since 09?
Well, I'm thinking that his balls actually are a lot deflated because he has someone new playing with him.
Well, you say since 09? Or no, I don't think
so. No, 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 no,
no,
no.
I mean,
no,
obviously, since he's been here in 06. Yeah,
I said my quote was after the suspension. 2012. Right, after the suspension.
Yeah, I mean, I've always kind of felt like, and I've said a few times on the show this year, or last year, 2014, that I feel like somehow, some way, that affected him. I don't know if it's psychologically, if it hit his ego, if he's scared, you know, or he's got to be keeping his nose clean more now than ever, and it took his edge away. It softened him, and I think this is the year. If he doesn't get it back this year, then you have to start to question if he'll ever get it back. And, you know, maybe he's got to go watch How Stella Got Her Groove Back or something, but
if there's one thing that'll do it, it'll be going 7-9 with the season like they had this year. And you know, not making the playoffs and being one and done, but actually seeing, like, holy shit, there's a problem.
Yeah.
To see the moves that they're making already in the off season. I know we say that every year, and he's kind of a guy that's quick to make his moves, and anybody is fair game. But again, here we go. I'm falling for it because I agree, Jason. I thought about that today. It's like, and he wrote about it in his book, Home Team, about needing a crisis. And this is kind of like Sean Payton himself might have needed this crisis to wake the fuck up and get his edge back. You know, this is his personal crisis. Like, holy shit, I have really let this team get away from me, and I'm going to get it back.
It'd be a lot cooler if you did.
yeah, something.
And that means you get the fuck out of here. You get the fuck out of here. You get the fuck out of here. Get me Jeff Ireland on the phone.
You're cool. You.
Wasn't Jeff Ireland with the Colts?
He's the GM of the Miami Dolphins. Before he came, now this is why Jeff Ireland. No, but listen to me, and I will explain the story of Jeff fucking Ireland to you.
Here's the tale of Jeff Ireland.
Listen to me, and you will see the Jeff Ireland.
No, Jeff Ireland was the handpicked guy by Bill Parcells to be the GM of the Dolphins.
Ooh.
Before the Dolphins, he was with Parcells' guy in Dallas.
Ooh.
So Jeff Ireland, now in Dallas, he was just a scout guy who built a pretty good team for the Dallas Cowboys while Parcells was there. So Ireland is definitely a devotee of
the Parcells,
the tuna.
Cock.
Right, and the tuna thinks highly of him. So you know,
there was no deflation there.
Right, you know how Sean Payton likes to play with the tuna's balls, and obviously Jeff Ireland came out of him. So,
all right. Well, this is good though. You got two Parcells guys under the same roof. I think this could work. Okay, and now our next segment. We have a lot of segments tonight. This one is...
Have you seen this? Have you heard about this?
And it's about a Jeff Duncan article or post that Jason didn't like.
Oh, among many.
So I did not see this or hear about it.
But it came out just a normal, I don't know, just a New Orleans column talking about all the sports. And so he gets to his one, you know, blurb about the Pelicans, and they were, I think, I don't know, 18-18 at the time, or 19-19. I mean, right around 500. Not doing terrible, but not doing great. Hovering, just, you know, at, like I said, at 500. And his column about them was, and the Pelicans going through another floundering season. Using the word flounder, like, to me, floundering season is 8-9 wins, maybe, at that point. You know, not 500. Sure, it wasn't what we expected, but we're not fucking floundering. Just more sensational fucking journalism. And the problem is, I think a lot of the sports fans in this city still get all their news from NOLA.com and Times-Picayune. So that's all they're going to read, and it's just a disservice to the team and the area for
to do. Jeff Duncan's never been positive about. Like that's kind of his shtick, is to everything sucks, right?
He's got incredibly deflated balls.
No.
He's got a limp shtick.
I'm going to agree and disagree with Jason. First of all, Jason, what Jason said about NOLA.com is 100% true. Anybody listen to our program, do not go to NOLA.com. Take it off your favorites list. Go to theadvocate.com, New Orleans. Much better coverage. Much better organization. Locally owned. Not some carpetbaggers from Yankee bastards from New Jersey, you know, coming down here who don't believe we deserve a 7-day a week newspaper. So fuck NOLA.com, fuck the Times-Picayune. Now, Jason, now let's talk about what do you think? I mean, do you think the word floundering is?
I think it's way too much. We're not floundering.
What are we doing?
We're
nothing. Mediocre.
Right. Mediocre, inconsistent, whatever you want to call it. Just been inconsistent. Although, I mean, if you look at it.
Underperforming, not living up to expectations.
Not making any strides, not making any forward progress.
It seems like we're treading water.
Now, okay. Before the season, I do recall you saying this was the year.
I had high expectations.
But look, I mean, the word flounder is to move clumsily or with little progress as a water in mud.
Somebody found dictionary.com.
Or function as in a confused or directionless manner. Struggle. Wouldn't you say that with little progress, the Pelicans have made this year?
They show signs of some progress.
Really? Jason.
There are signs, they just can't do it consistently.
Yeah, so you're saying they're moving in a clumsily manner.
God, I hate that you're going to fucking turn this around on me.
Because I am right. Act or function in a confused or directionless manner.
Man, he's been struggling a week for this rant.
No shit, huh?
Why do you gotta deflate his balls?
Right. Come on, man. Lay off my balls, Mac. Deflate my balls, Mac.
You busted my balls. Why are you busting my balls, Mac?
It's just floundering is like, oh, well, we're totally sucking, totally out of it, totally. Just terrible.
No, I just read you the definition of flounder.
Okay, I'm sorry. I don't have the definitive Webster's dictionary.
I just told it to you. Would you like me to read it to you again?
No, thank you. I heard you the first time.
But my point is, I mean, I understand, you know, what
Jeff Duncan still sucks. You don't have to prove to me.
Jeff Duncan still sucks. You are correct there. I just think maybe you took it, and I didn't read the article. Maybe he was harsher in the article, but the word floundering itself doesn't necessarily mean an accurate information
of the season.
Right. Correct. Right.
So, but my bigger beef with the Pelicans, and maybe you, Jason, is you promised us this was the year, and I always keep coming back. Oh, every year you say that. Every year you say that.
Yeah, no,
and
you're
it's
right.
The same thing every fucking year.
Time for Monty to go.
I think I have made a conscious effort. I think you would agree to pay a lot more attention to get all in with the Pelicans. And
even though you live in Dallas.
Which makes it harder. So here I am. I did my part. I made myself vulnerable, and I, against my better judgment.
You are rewarded by watching a floundering team.
Oh my goodness.
That shows little progress as though stuck in water or mud. To act or function in a confused and directionless manner. Struggling.
Sounds like you're on podcast.
That's what I'm experiencing.
It's very frustrating.
And to all people who are new to the show, Jeff did not listen to or did not live in Dallas. Jeff lives in Louisiana. We all live in Louisiana. Most of us live in close proximity to New Orleans, about 30 minutes away. This podcast is
a statewide podcast.
Run by New Orleanians in New Orleans. Thank you very much.
Okay.
So anyway. So yes, it has been disappointing. They will win more games.
Are they struggling?
They're on a roller coaster, okay?
Are they struggling?
No, they're on a roller coaster.
Are they showing a little progress?
I'll tell you what I'm scared of. That Anthony Davis, when it comes time for his free agency, is going to be like, fuck this shit, I'm out of here.
Well, that's the big key. That's the big hope. He's going to have a chance to sign his extension this coming summer.
Now, look, the big difference between Anthony Davis and Chris Paul is when it came time for Chris Paul, you know, to redo his contract, the NBA owned the team. The team really was rudderless. They did not have an owner.
The organization was floundering, would you say?
The organization was they were doing more than floundering. They were showing no progress. You know, they were going backwards. So that's really the difference. Now with, of course, the Mr. Benson owning the team having a beautiful state-of-the-art practice facility inside the Saints campus, you know, it's a whole campus.
Oh, that's before, fine. And they
hold on, but before they were practicing.
Every team has that now.
No, you were right. No, not now. But the Hornets at the time were practicing in the Alario.
Yeah, the fucking Alario Center.
That
yeah,
is bad. So embarrassing.
That's
that
like
an NBA team. Exactly.
Yeah.
But so you look back and you wish Chris Paul would have stayed and stuck it out. But if he would have, we wouldn't have AD, and I'm happy to have AD. You can't blame Chris Paul for wanting to get away from the organization run by
Shin.
Yeah. All right, get that. Okay? That's fine.
So much better organization. I think we have a little stronger pull with AD again being.
Yeah, we're so much.
This is shape. A professional organization run by a championship owner. You know now, but you're
right,
gonna have to
the coach gonna, and the players
you're
gonna, around.
You're
him.
Going to have to show him that you want to win and stop floundering. Okay, that you're not. You know, so Monty Williams.
It's been very frustrating.
Has to go
to watch.
Does Monty Williams have to go, Jason?
It's a big question on whether or not to fire a guy.
You ignorant fuck.
I know I'm not answering your question right now, but I'm trying to get to
okay.
I don't think that they should necessarily fire him now, but I mean if we end up going 40 and 42 to end the season, I don't think he comes back. Even though I mean Vegas is projected, you know, the over under projected win total from Vegas was 43. So we're not that far off there, but just when you watch the team play and just see how inconsistent they are, it's Monty, I mean, at some point this has to come back on him. Yeah, the players don't all fit perfectly, but it's the coach's job to get the players. I mean, it's amazing how the players just come out and they're just flat. You can just tell from the get-go they're just like they just don't have it. Like I don't understand it. The worst roller coaster I've ever been on.
Monty's record since 2010.
Oh, yeah, it's not good.
46-36.
That was with Chris the first year.
Right. 21 wins, 45 losses. 27 wins, 55 losses. 34 wins, 48 losses. I see a pattern here. 18 wins.
I don't know how you laugh that long.
Loss.
How'd you get away? You say this is a professional championship run organization. It sure isn't acting like it by letting a guy like that hang around.
Right. 3 years of subpar play. Again, the winning percentages. Yes, he had the first year with Chris Paul. He was a 56% win. Then 31, 20.
Right, with the roster. We didn't have anybody that year. Then Davis.
Well, I mean. You know, and this year he's 50-50. Well, you have your roster now. You've had AD for 3 years. This is supposed to be the team. It's time to move on.
Yeah, and that concludes your Pelican Plunge segment. Moving on to Pick'ems.
It's time to play the game. Put your money on the table. Come on. It's the one game. You never win.
see what it, it started out as. Have you heard about this? He finished his Pelican Plunge. A button hooker.
Right. So we will not be picking the Super Bowl tonight. That'll be for our next recording before the Super Bowl.
This was supposed to be a short one, and it's already been an hour.
Well, I mean, the Saints just decided, hey, the episode's going to be too short. Let's just do all this shit today.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, better for the listeners. They get the full show this week, and we're going to release a special clip show on Sunday or something.
Maybe. We'll see. All right. So, getting on to pick'ems. No one of us had the same record this week. We all had different records. Jeff was the worst of the group. Jeff went 0-2.
Yes!
I have not won a playoff game.
No, you were 0-4. Wait.
I might have won in the wild card week. But yeah, I haven't won a game since the wild card.
You won Carolina in the wild card weekend. And then you were 0-4 last week, and you were 0-2 this week.
I am floundering.
Yeah, that, my friend, is floundering.
Well, I went 1-1, so I am now above Jeff.
Yeah, so Jeff is at 46-46.
Excellent.
Quite the Pelicans record there, 500. Damon is one game ahead, 47-45.
Excellent.
I clinched the 2014 Pick'ems title. I went 2-0. So as of now, I'm 51-41.
You won in the donkeys. The extended version, Alex still stays on top. Neil in second place. Jason, you're in third.
Oh, overall? All right.
Yes, followed by Damon, then me, then Wheels, and then, of course, as is tradition, Craig is in last place.
Well, at least he's got one more pick.
He didn't pick this week. I think he gave up.
He threw in the towel.
Yeah. Mercy.
Don't blame me, Greg.
It's one of those seasons.
Well, this is nice. Jeff freaking last.
No, not necessarily.
Worst
between the three of us.
Well, no, you two can tie. I mean,
no.
Yeah,
yes, we can.
No, if no, you take... because I'm picking whoever the fuck Jeff picks.
Oh, we have to flip the coin.
No. I don't think. No, I think Damon, you have to pick first. You have,
I don't
you
give a fuck. No.
Hey, don't pussy out of it. Fucking you.
No.
Yeah.
No. Jeff, you lost. Jeff.
Nope.
Accepted.
Nope.
Yep.
Nope. I'm making an executive decision. No, you guys have to take opposite teams.
Unfortunately, you're not an executive of anything.
Hey, this is my segment.
That's right. He owns Pick'ems.
That's right.
The only thing he owns is not only is he a client, but he's a fucking owner.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, but it was terrible. It was.
I know. I know. It was.
Let's leave it in. Just
but you get what I want.
Yeah, how smart are you? You floundered that one.
Because you're upset that you were a little bit wrong.
Let me get some production notes for our listeners here for how we're going to handle this 2 week thing. Okay, so you're listening to this episode. Then I think next week we're going to do our Super Bowl preview episode, right?
Right. That will probably take place on the 26th of January.
That's when we'd record it. But it wouldn't come out until like 28th or 29th.
Right.
But we have a clip show to play somewhere in between all this. So maybe what we'll do instead is, all right, this one comes out. How about we publish the clip show on Sunday the 25th as like a little Super Bowl bonus? Either that, no, or we could publish the clip show itself on the Saturday before the Super Bowl as a little
pregame
fun.
Whatever you want to do.
Okay,
it's that clip show that we just listened to last week, right?
Yes. Just the three of us did.
Right. I mean, I don't know what it's like 5-10 minutes long.
That's about 7 minutes, maybe. Seven, 10.
Right. Okay. Yeah, well, I mean, publish whenever the hell you want to. I mean, I don't think.
All right. I'm trying to market the clip show here. you know what? A piece of shit. If you guys want to listen to it, I don't know. I mean,
I didn't say it with a piece of shit.
It'll pop up in your podcast feed. You could probably ignore it.
Yeah, right.
I didn't know. You said it's 6 minutes. I mean,
publish your bullshit.
We all can wait 6 minutes, is all I'm saying. You know? 6 minutes they can listen to it while they're taking a shit. I mean, you know.
So anyway, yeah, it's just a little Super Bowl treat that we put together for you. It's a clip show that.
Well, Jeff put it together.
Well, but we all contribute through our little jokes. Okay. In any case, let you guys know kind of what's happening there. And then after the Super Bowl, we'll go into a true off-season, you know, NFL off-season mode.
We will still publish
every other week.
At least every other week, maybe every week. It depends on if there's stuff to talk about. Oh, this is why I wanted to talk about that, is because what we want to do...
Last year we published every week.
Was it really every week?
It ended up being pretty much every week.
Yes, there was an occasion or two where maybe we didn't, but for the most, it was every week we did a show. And my God, you're like talking to fucking six-year-olds. You really are.
Ooh, why?
I mean...
Why me?
Because you don't remember, well, not so much, because I didn't want to single Jason out to be a dumbass myself, really. I was trying not to single Jason out, but we've talked about this dozens of times about publishing weekly, because, you know, during the off season to keep
all right
some sort of excitement or fans.
Trying to get to is all right after the Super Bowl. Is we go into the really off season and
what did he do? Did he punch himself?
Oh, step on something.
Oh, God. Okay, so in the off season is usually when we bring on some listeners as guests, and so if you are a longtime listener and you'd like the opportunity to be selected as a guest on the show, please tweet us, I want to be on the show, or actually hashtag, I want to be on the Dome Patrol podcast.
.com?
Yeah, add that too. So let us know, and then we'll reach out to you, and we'll talk about scheduling and whatnot, and see if we can get you on. And yes, we're talking to some of the guys who have been on the show before. That's Jay Grizzy. Who else? Craig. We keep talking about wanting to get Neil on. Nir, it'd be great to get you on as well, since we met. Of course, we'll get Adam back on at some point, and some of the old. We'll get Courtney on. Maybe we'll even try to get T-Bob on for some.
It'll be interesting. We're gonna have our 200th episode.
Yeah, but we said we weren't gonna celebrate our 200th episode. We were gonna celebrate like our
232nd.
Yeah, some random number, because that's just who we are.
Okay.
We act like...
Yeah, right.
We're nonconformists. Okay, that is the production notes. Final thoughts, Jason. And you'll clean up the production notes part to make it a little shorter and less boring.
Nope, thank you.
Going into the week, just one of the worst Super Bowls in terms of just no team that I really want to pull for. It's only by default that I have to pull for a team.
The Patriots?
Yeah, I'm definitely pulling for the Patriots, 100%. Good Tom Brady, get your fourth ring. But there so many people nationwide too don't like, you know, nobody, not a lot of people hate the Patriots, and Seattle's start, you know, getting on people's nerves too. So it's just like no real rootable team for just the average.
Kind of like two villains.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's Freddy versus Jason.
Except without the comedy.
I don't know. I've kind of wanted New England to do this ever since Damon brought them up as a model franchise earlier in the season.
Exactly. Some people didn't agree with me. And look where the Patriots are.
Damn. That is like freaking poetic justice right there.
Oh! Yeah, look, I can't. Yeah, I can't.
No, well, look, Jason, I told you last week that you say some dopey shit, okay? And you don't think you do, but you really do.
Jason's got some rebounding to do.
No, you know what? God bless Jason. It's not that he's stupid.
You act like I'm not even in the conversation.
It's not that he's stupid. You know, just so I can hear you. It's not that he's stupid. It's that he tries.
That's right. You can speak. He doesn't know what you're saying.
Let's hope the that Belichick and the Patriots do win and can finally put me wrong, because I don't want to see Seattle win another Super Bowl.
No. But you do it, and you do it a lot. You just did in the Pelican session. I mean, you try to be that fan, like nothing bad can be said about the organization or nothing, you know, you
no, what?
I wouldn't say he's like that.
Not like that at all.
Okay, should Monty Williams be fired? No.
I said probably. I didn't say no.
Well, look.
I did not say no. Don't turn my words around.
Probably isn't a yes, though. Should Monty Williams be fired?
Probably so.
Yes or no? Should it? Would you? Would
he's
you?
Not gonna, he's not
hold
gonna,
on, Jason.
Not
Jason.
Want to, he's not going to tell you Jason. Yes or no, because then that means that when whatever happens, he can't be wrong.
Look, I just think he probably will be fired.
Jason, no. If you had the final say over it, would you fire Monty Williams?
At least by the end of the season, I would.
Well, yeah, I don't think he should be fired mid-season. I don't think he should be fired mid-season. But, so if you had final say, you would fire Monty Williams.
As of right now, yes. But if he goes and somehow we go on a crazy 10 or something game winning streak and push for it, then things could change. But as of now, at the end of the season, if we end up in the same spot we're in now, yes.
Boy, I mean,
that's a fair way to put it.
Well, but by look,
I'm saying yes.
Jason's the voice of reason,
right? I'm not going to be submitted. Oh yeah, fire his ass right now. No, it's like
he should have been fired last year, honestly, quite honestly. And we should not be going through this mediocre year.
We were everybody
we
was fucking
be
hurt.
Floundering. We shouldn't be floundering this year.
All right, final thoughts, Damon.
Look, we have two more weeks until we put to bed this ugly 2014 football season that has just been horrific for Saints fans. So let's get by these 2 weeks. Fuck Seattle. Go Pats. That's
all right. So that's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and for telling all of your friends about the Don't Patrol podcast. Check us out on Twitter at Don't Patrol PCast. So if you don't listen to us on iTunes, Android, or Google Play, there's the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, Don't Patrol Podcast.
.com.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, Reaperish donkeys.
Good night, Hootat Nation.